Let's bow our heads once more, shall we? Father, thank you for bringing us here today, and I give you my being that you may speak through me and that your words may be received. Amen. All of you are looking pretty young out there, so we'd like to go back to the prehistoric era of about 1961. It's probably before most of you were a twinkle in somebody's eye, I guess. And my family, which consisted of my mom and dad, my two older brothers, and my sister, who is next to me, moved from a dairy farm in Wisconsin to British Columbia. Yeah. Woo. Canada. Go Canada. Yeah. And they started to live and prosper there, and a few years later, which happened to be 9 years after my sister was born, I happened along. And there's a couple different ways you can look at it. You can look at it and go, let's see, 9 years after three kids, it's either an oops or a mistake or, well, we'll just deal with it. But I prefer to look at it as 9 years of research and development, and here I am. But then my head gets big and, well, we got to get back to reality. So anyway, I grew up in a Christian home, an Adventist Christian home. My parents are second-generation Adventists. That can be good and bad, depending on how you look at it, how it affects you. But the home that I grew up in was a very loving home, and it was filled with work. Lots of work. That was my dad's favorite thing to do, which was okay, I guess, in some respects. The home was also filled with, as I said, love. It was also filled with things like, well, let's see, it's Sabbath and you can't wear shorts. Or it's Sabbath and you can't ride a bicycle. Or if you're at the lake or the river, let's see, you can go up to your ankles, your knees, but that's about it. So I call that legalism. I didn't like it. Also growing up, it was our duty to go to church every Sabbath, whether you were on your deathbed or not. If you were on your deathbed, well, then we would just take your bed with you and go to church. And that's kind of the way it was. Which, in some cases, is good, because I think it's good to go to church. But why are you going to church is the point. What is your attitude when you go to church? So growing up in this environment, being 9 years younger kind of puts me in the spot of maybe an only child. A legalistic home, conservative Adventist Christian home. To me, these are all signs that say maybe at some point there's going to be some rebellion, some I don't want anything to do with this kind of stuff. A text that was pretty important to me as I was growing up, because, you know, in Sabbath school, when you grow up, you learn a lot of memory verses and Bible texts, was honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. Happens to be a commandment. And I don't know, but for some reason, that text really stuck in my heart. That for whatever reason, for whatever's going on, it was my duty to honor my parents. Whether they were being legalistic about the Sabbath and about things that Christians do, or whether they were making me work too hard, or what, I felt that it was my goal, my job, whatever in life, to honor my parents. So then school starts, you know, and you go through academy. I went to Okanagan Adventist Academy, which is a day school, grades 1 to 12 in the same building. I went there for 12 years. In high school, there was a few things that occupied my time. One was work. The other two were we had a gymnastics aerobatic team, kind of like you guys do here, that I participated in for 4 years and had a blast. And the other one was competitive hockey. When you play hockey away from the church, Most of the games are going to be either Friday night or on Saturday. That poses a problem for an Adventist who is trying to keep the Sabbath. I can remember sitting in the locker room, and this kind of got to be a little bit old, but I dealt with it anyway. You know, you'd be sitting there, we'd have a practice Thursday night, or Tuesday night and Thursday night, and then we'd have a game either Friday night or Saturday night, once in a while on Sunday. And I always hoped that the games would be on Saturday night or Sunday, because then I could play. But the coach would always say Thursday night, all right, who's not going to make the game Friday night? I'd raise my hand, you know, kind of hoping nobody would see or whatever. But you know what? During those times, nobody once ever criticized me or made fun because I wasn't going to be there. In fact, one of the guys I got to know, he said, hey, how come you never play in the Friday night games? And I said, well, I'm a Christian and I go to church on Saturday and I observe the Sabbath from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. He goes, oh, an Adventist, oh. He goes, well, I'm a Catholic. Aren't we supposed to be enemies? My mouth dropped open. But nobody ever criticized me for what I was doing. In our gymnastics team, our theme text, which we held very dearly for 4 years while I was in high school, was this. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So what does that mean? It means that whatever I want to do, whatever I want to undertake, I can do, right? With God's strength. So it seemed to work pretty good for me in high school. When I was a junior in high school, I did a mission trip to Honduras, built a church for Maranatha, had a wonderful experience. It was great. But I was still had grown up in this legalistic, conservative, Adventist Christian home, and, you know, again, those are signs of rebellion, so when was that going to take place? Oh, hadn't yet. Then came, it was time for to graduate from high school and go to college. So I went to Walla Walla College for 4 years, but you know, when you go there, all of a sudden, I mean, you guys are kind of experiencing what I experienced. I was in a somewhat of a sheltered home for all my life, and all of a sudden I'm thrown out to the world to go to college, live in a dorm, and all this kind of stuff, and hey, freedom. So what do a lot of people do when they have freedom? They go crazy. They try this, they do that, they do this, the other thing, whatever. I don't know why, but there was dorm or room check-in at 10 o'clock every night in the dorm, believe it or not, back in the early 80s. There were worships that had to be attended to. There was church to go to by choice. I don't know why, but I was always in my room at 10 o'clock at night. I enjoyed going to church. And, you know, attending worships, I always seemed to get something out of them. I don't know why, but there was no rebellion. My life just kind of seemed to continue on, you know, honor your parents. You know, why did I honor my parents? Well, the Bible says so, but maybe there was this thing of this fear of, well, if I dishonor my parents, they'll be disappointed in me. I didn't want to see that happen because I was told to honor my parents. So you could say that my life kind of has been going about like this. Hopefully, steady ever upward towards, you know, drawing closer to God. There's been times when there's been little bumps down, little bumps up. The great bump up I told you about was my Maranatha trip to Honduras. That was spectacular. But it wasn't a shoot way up in the sky or anything. It was a good bump up in the right direction. How many were up at 6 o'clock this morning? Anybody? Were you outside at 6 o'clock this morning? Did you see the sunrise?
The sun was a glowing orangey red when I saw it this morning at 6 o'clock. It was awesome. To me, that's a little bump up. An insight to God's character, His creative power. I'm the kind of guy who thinks that when I'm driving to work at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm the only one on the road, and the sun comes up, and there's this sunrise, and it's an ever-changing picture. I like to think that God created that sunrise just for me. Because I don't see anybody else out there. It's just me driving down the road. And to me, it means something. It means that God is saying, good morning. I hope you have a great day. Now, the text we used, or that I used for 4 years in high school as my heartful text, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, I kind of looked at it as, like I said, things that whatever I want to do, I can do with God's help. But I think with a little more study, a little more growing up, a little more maturity with God, it's come to mean something different. And this is what it's come to mean for me. I have learned how to get along happy, whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or everything. I have learned the secret of contentment in every situation, whether it be a full stomach or hunger, plenty or want. For I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ, who gives me strength. Most of the testimonies that you've heard, I would say, are different than mine. Most people have either not been a Christian and have become a Christian, or maybe people have been a Christian and for some reason have rebelled and fallen away, but have come back. So in that respect, I would say that my testimony is different, because I didn't experience any rebellion, any major falling away from God. Now, does that mean I'm perfect and ready to be translated? Absolutely not. Things that I struggle with are legalism, because that's the way I was raised. I've struggled in the past with a holier-than-thou attitude. I used to have this look that my wife said drove her crazy, because she could see it in an instant of what I was thinking. I also struggle with a thing called lukewarmness. I think most of you heard that term. And God doesn't like that term. Now, just because I didn't fall off the deep end or rebel, does that make me any better than the other speakers who've talked who have rebelled or gone away from the church or anything? Absolutely not. We all have struggles. We all have trials. But I hope it shows that and helps you understand that God can reach you and talk to you and meet you wherever you are. Whether you're down in the dumps, whether you're high on God, or whether you're just kind of going along steady as a rock, kind of just moving along. And like I said, hopefully it's upward. If you give yourself to God, He can use you in whatever capacity He needs. And that's the key, is we let God have our lives. And we need to be careful that we continually look to God, because if we look at humans, they will let us down. They will fail us. And that's what causes a lot of rebellion a lot of going away. And I just want to thank God that He blessed me with a content spirit to be somewhat steady. Now, like I said, the problem is if you're too steady, you get into that lukewarm area, which is not a good thing. And that's something that I have to struggle with. So keep your eyes focused on God, because that's where it's at. I would like to say one thing in closing, that I am here for you guys, and I will do my best to be there if you need me, and you can come to me in any capacity that you would like. If you need a shoulder to lean on, if you need someone to play on your sports team, if you need someone to knock down on the sports field, if you need a head elder, if you need, whatever you need, a brother in Christ, just a brother, I will do my best to be there for you. So keep your eyes on Christ, would you, please?